Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Killer Conversations. As always, I am your host, Brittany Bookbinder, a fake name, but we're all good, right? I'm here, as always, with my cat, Dr. Edmund, here in my Uncle Mort's attic. Oh, goodness, what a week, you guys. I walked in to the living room when my Uncle Mort was, he was listening to some tapes, and I've not ever known him to be a fan of music, so that's, I was surprised when I heard voices, but it was actually a recording, you know, maybe it was a podcast. It sounded like one person asking some pretty intense questions and then somebody else answering them badly. but as soon as he saw that I was standing there, you know, he shooed me away and gave me this Beatles record and said, you know, why don't you listen to this? And hey, if you listen to it backwards, there's a secret message. And I was like, what? And it turns out he's right, because I was listening to it backwards. And then at some point, the music just cut out and there was this man's voice repeating this string of letters and numbers. I don't know what they were to, but I don't know. Maybe it means something. Pretty exciting. But speaking of the Beatles, today we're going to be talking to huge Beatles fan, Charles Manson. As everybody knows, Charles Manson was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, to a woman named Kathleen and to a man who, by all accounts, did not have a first name but was a colonel. Charles went to a couple of institutions in his childhood. First, a school for boys in Terre Haute when his mom was in rehab. And then later, after he had burglarized some local stores, he went to the Indiana School for Boys, which sounds like a bad living situation. I mean, just picture the worst roommates. I mean, I can't really imagine that. Honestly, any roommate situation sounds really nice. And if anybody would like to pick one up with me, like I've mentioned so many times here, I am looking for some new friends. So I don't know. I know that could be dangerous, but just throwing that out there on the airwaves. But anyway, he had a bad time. So then when he got out of jail the second time, he went to California and he made a lot of friends, actually. I guess, you know, technically they were followers, but oh, I mean, why mince words? You know, he made music, he killed some people. Well, actually, he convinced other people to kill some people, which is pretty clever, if you think about it. So anyway, I am so excited to talk to music legend and cult leader Charles Manson. Ah! Okay, Dr. Edmund, ready? Okay. Beep, boop, boop, beep. Charles Manson?
Yo, what's up? That's me, Charles Manson.
Hi! Welcome to my uncle's attic.
Hey, this is cool. It's a really good attic up here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this is good. This is really cool.
Oh, I can't really take credit for it, but yeah.
Good uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Charles, how are you?
Man, so good.
Yeah?
So dang good. I'll say that right now, yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, I'm great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm great. I almost stepped on a spider this morning, which would be very bad because,
sure.
You know, the spiders in this attic occasionally write messages to me in their web. So
sure, Charlotte's Web style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to kill them.
Yeah. I feel like it's good to not step on that spider and do murder yourself.
Oh.
It's always good to have brainwash other people to do your murder.
So true. It's like take initiative and
get someone else to stomp on the spider.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Charm them into doing whatever you need them to do.
Oh God. Yeah. It's kind of my my MO.
Yeah. You know, I heard that there's also some people say that you auditioned for the Monkees, even though you were in jail at the time. But did you audition for the Monkees?
I won't even say I auditioned for the Monkees. I was a member of the Monkees. If you recall the song "Hey Hey, We're the Monkees," that was me. That was me and John Lennon that wrote that song.
Wow. That is so crazy that you and the Beatles ghost wrote songs for other bands.
I feel like they jacked them from us. I feel like me and, you know, John. Is it cool if I call him John?
Please, yeah. I wish
John,
you would.
Me and Jay is, you know, because I call him. We wrote a bunch of songs and, you know, it's almost like yeah, that they were taken from us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Is that, does that have anything to do with why, when it came to the murder stuff, you were like, no, you know what? I'm not doing this myself and having somebody else take the credit.
Kind of.
Flip it or reverse it.
Yes. Put the thing down, flip it and reverse it. Uh-huh. This is kind of a, is your whipper nipping when yet, situation.
Oh, I don't speak French.
Missy Elliott.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't really either. I wrote that song as well in 1968.
So where, what have you been up to recently?
Recording a lot with, like, you know, dead celebs, mm-hmm. people who are dead, and trying to, like, repeat, release, like, LPs, EPs, kind of, because it's, like, everything is streaming now. It's great just, realizing that albums aren't the thing anymore now that we're dead. Okay, mm-hmm. It's singles. It's all about singles. Oh. Just releasing a steady stream of shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because life is short, but death, you know, death is shorter,
forever.
So, yeah, death is forever.
It's forever, and that's one of the great things about, like, working with, you know, newly deceased people like Cisco, mm-hmm. You know, hanging with Cisco, writing, like, new stuff for Cisco.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good. I mean, it's been, yeah. I definitely do have, like, a cult of people that, you know, follow me around and will do whatever I say, and I kind of get them to, mm-hmm. you know, jam with me. If they don't like my music, I get them to kill people or have them killed.
Yeah, yeah.
But more importantly, it's just good being able to have so many wives while I was in, you know, in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That was honestly my best jail stories were, like, times that I got women to fall in love with me outside of jail and
yeah.
then married them
uh-huh.
within jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many wives did you end up having?
If I'm doing the math, mm-hmm. I think I had, like, 12 wives or something.
Wow.
Three at a time.
That's like biblical.
I definitely did not know them biblically as I was not afforded, like, conjugal visits towards the end of my tenure.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Oh my God. I wanted to F.
Yeah.
I mean, they're my wives. Like, what the H? And this is going to come as a surprise to you. Your boy Charles Manson didn't do as much effing as he probably would have liked.
Really?
I could have, like, for every time I was thinking about effing,
mm-hmm.
maybe 10 times I was thinking about effing for every one time I effed.
I gotta say, you know, that's one of the things I admire so much about you, that you dream big.
I really
do.
You
have high aspirations in so many different aspects of your life. That's
so cool. My dreams were like Inferno and skulls and shit. So yeah, it was never like sex dreams for me. It was more just like daydreams of me, like, you know, at Arby's or writing with writing with John Lennon. And I'd be like, you know what I could be doing right now instead of writing, you know, the song All These Things That I've Done that eventually was made popular by the Killers. I could be effing right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like my train of thought.
Have you been to Vegas?
Oh, hell yeah. I absolutely have been to Vegas. I've been to New Vegas. I've been to Old Vegas. I've been to that museum where they have all the neon signs that they retired and shit. Vegas is like my jam. Yeah.
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 And you brought some ladies there, right? At some point?
Yeah. I mean, anytime that I went anywhere, my flock usually came with,
mm-hmm.
For better or worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Because honestly, a lot of the people that I, like, eventually brainwashed and got to kill people,
uh-huh.
I didn't even like them.
Ooh, exclusive, breaking.
Yeah. And this is like, yeah, hot off the presses.
Yeah.
People that you can completely step all over, you get boring.
Yeah. Oh, no, I totally get that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't ever in a cult, I don't think, but I was an intern.
You gotta try. Oh, then you were in a cult.
Yeah, so I feel like it was pretty similar.
The more you can brainwash somebody to do your bidding, I think the better. And that's like a Jesus thing or something.
Yeah. Now, you're a Scientologist, is that right?
I mean, I'm like a...
In the 70s?
I feel like if you were going to slap a label on me, I feel like I'd be closer to something closer to, like, maybe what the Founding Fathers would have been, maybe like a deist,
uh-huh.
You know, kind of a, you know, maybe I am God, maybe I am Jesus, maybe I am the Holy Spirit, maybe, you know, it's a simple thing, but yeah.
Yeah. So, sort of like the kind of offshoot of Protestantism that, you know, kind of accepts that there might be a sort of modern day prophet.
Right. Yeah. I think that's about where I'm at. Yeah.
And maybe it's you.
I'm pretty certain. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, all the voices in my fucking head say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it definitely, you know, my religious belief definitely did not inform where I ended up in terms of afterlife. Like, it's kind of that I didn't see coming.
This episode is brought to you by Lady Clones. Is someone following you? Do they know where you work and possibly where you live? Are you afraid to turn around right now? Then you need Lady Clones, the only service that provides 1 to 100 identical clones of yourself walking around the city, effectively throwing off your stalker. Lady Clones, clones so you're never alone.
I feel like the only thing they let you drink in prison is like water and toilet wine.
Oh, wow. A whole mix.
It's honestly, if you can get a good toilet wine, like one that's aged a little bit of time, like maybe not from someone's spit, but like toilet water, it can be really good. Like,
I've always wondered that. Is toilet wine like regular wine in that it ages well?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's all a fermentation thing, toilet wine or not.
You're like a scientist.
Well, yeah, I prefer a living God.
Right, sorry. Yeah. Well, speaking of prison, so you spent a lot of time in institutions growing up. I heard that by the time you were 32, you had spent more than half of your life in some kind of institution.
Sure.
How was that? And do you miss your mom? I mean, no. I know she did once give you away to a bartender in exchange for a free beer, which, believe me, that would leave a sour taste in my mouth, too. But just kind of curious about her.
I mean, it's part of it is like, yeah, I was born in Cincinnati, so that's kind of a way of life.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a way of life for me. But yeah, I mean, my mom traded me in for a beer. She traded me in for a Big Mac. She traded me in for a Arby's beef and cheddar pick five for $5.95 combo. You can get like, I'm pretty sure you can get like a Jamocha shake. I'm not really sure what's all on the pick five. All I know is that that's a good deal. I mean, it's what? Because if I was her, you know, if I was didn't love my son, I would certainly trade him in for an Arby's pick five for $5.95. I'm not a freaking idiot.
Right. Oh, and it's so smart that she kept getting you back to make these trades.
I kept like kind of clawing my way back. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Because trust me, I was accepted as legal tender. Like, at no point did a drive-through person at Arby's go, "We don't accept this as payment." They took it. They put me underneath the, you know, like when you try to pay with a $100 bill, there's not like a slot in the till for $100, so they have to like pick it up and put
it
underneath.
Whole thing. Yeah,
it's kind of like to me, that's my nursery. It's like underneath the till. Yeah.
So then you you were, you know, left, you know, kind of your family, and you were in these institutions, and then eventually you made it out to California.
Definitely, you know, started writing mooey songs out there. Wrote a bunch of songs, you know, passed my stuff off to the Beach Boys, became best friends with John Lennon, just an all-around songwriting dude. And I gotta say, like, I'm fucking good at writing prolific songs, you know. It definitely isn't something that I was kept from doing, and that maybe formed some sort of resentment within me that kind of bubbled up into a psychotic outbursts.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it was that at all.
No.
Sounds like those are two kind of separate things.
No, my life went as planned.
Yeah. Now, can we just get like a little sample of, you know, I mean, since you did write so many songs, like if I just gave you like, I don't know, like a love song about, I don't know, a cat, for instance, like anything.
I feel like every song I've ever written about a cat has been based on the fact that I was briefly married to a Siamese cat in San Diego honestly, her dad didn't like me. Mm-hmm. I didn't like her dad either, if I'm going to go on the record. But I was married to an actual cat for 5 months.
Wow.
And it was a good 3 months. And then it got really bad.
Yeah. Now, from what I can tell, it seems like every time a wife of yours filed for divorce, that kind of set into motion some kind of significant event for you. Do you remember sort of what was the thing that happened after your cat wife divorced you?
I feel like when my cat wife, I mean, and I'll say this, anyone out there who's listening, if you marry a cat, get a prenuptial agreement, okay? Because cats they're going to take half of what you fucking make. They're going to fucking take your kids. They're going to take probably the house. She got my Miata. Drove a two-seater.
Her Miata now.
That was the actual, she had like
a vanity
plate? Vanity plate.
Wow.
Yeah. And the thing was, I was like, you have money to pay for a vanity plate. It's messed up to see someone I loved at one point. And I'll say right now, yeah, I'm a lover. And when things do not go my way, I lash out, you know. And I'll go down swinging saying that I got just too big of a heart sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that for sure. You've been so nice and so pleasant this whole
time. Thank you. You should, before I leave, I got to give you a coupon code to get like a free download of my new EP.
I would love to hear
it. It's really good. I'm doing like a reggaeton kind of. Kind of like a Latin influenced beat. Beats now, which is kind of cool. It's kind of a new phase of my career.
Like Paul Simon.
Very Paul Simon. Paul Simon, I think if you asked him point blank if I was his best friend, he would say yes.
And would he call you Al?
Al's actually my middle name.
Do you know
I was born with no name? That is real.
Yeah, no name Maddox.
Is that right? I didn't have a name.
Okay, just kind of walk me through. So you're, you know, kind of height of your music career, helping other musicians out, doing your own thing. And then how do you get from there to, you know, coming up with the idea of Helter Skelter and Let's Kill Sharon Tate, for instance?
Well, I feel like, have you ever been at like Navy Pier or like in Times Square in New York and like there's dudes on the street who are trying to give you like their CD and then it's kind of a trap where you would give someone your CD and then they'd be like, give me $5 though.
Oh, I think the closest I can relate is
they do it in like Wrigleyville.
There's a man at the grocery store who's always handing me little pamphlets that he wrote about his religion that he has made up. But
for sure,
yeah. And then he's like, "No, so come to my services," and it's always like on a Friday night, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's not a good time for a service.
Yeah.
See, very similar marketing strategy for me.
Yeah.
For my music, but if somebody maybe didn't like or didn't accept my music on the streets, what I would do is I would turn around to my gaggle of ladies that I've brainwashed, which is also just kind of a pastime thing for me. It is just a fun thing to do. If you've never done it, try it. Absolutely.
Charles, I've got to be honest. I have such a hard time making any friends that it would. The idea of having a bunch would be just really
out of this world. And
this is
actually where a lot of people go wrong when you're brainwashing somebody to be kind of like your meat puppet. You want to make sure not to be friends with them because they are, at the end of the day, just pawns to do your bidding. So that is part of it. Is like there's certainly a guise of friendship at the beginning, but it should escalate into a they will do murder for you.
Whoa.
Because they believe for you to be a living God. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
Good to know.
And a lot of people are like, you should be friends. It's kind of like if you're a good parent, it's like, do you want to be your kid's best friend or
do you want
to
be
a living
parent?
God?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was always like living God.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, life hack.
Life hack.
So yeah, you have these people and they're doing stuff for you and then it's, you know, time for the end of the world?
Yeah, if somebody didn't accept my CD on the streets, I would kind of just give my cultists a nod. Mm-hmm. That person would then be marked for death. We'd follow them home. We'd probably throw like a brick through like a plate glass window. Mm-hmm. Probably go in there and kind of do like a prolonged kind of like murder torture session. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it's good. But yeah, that was kind of my MO. You can look that up. Everybody knows that's kind of that's kind of our thing.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, Charles Manson, this is kind of random, but I just got the White Album at an estate sale. Would you like, we could just listen to a couple tracks if you want?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the White Album is, a lot of people don't know this, but it's written actually 100% by me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I wrote the Beatles White Album.
Oh, my God. Well, this will be like an annotated listening where you tell me where you got the inspiration for everything.
And I'll tell you right off the bat, every one of those Beatles songs came directly from a murder.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am learning
help.
So much.
I need somebody help. Yeah, that's actually something
I need
someone
somebody
said.
Somebody.
Yes.
To kill.
Right. It's every one of those words was actually a direct quote from someone that we were about to kill.
Wow.
Yes. Not just anybody. Yeah.
Oh.
It's near and dear to my heart.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Brittany. Brittany!
Oh, let me get the door. Hey, Clara, what's up?
Hi, Brittany. Look it. I drew you a picture.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. I love art. What am I looking at here? Who are these guys?
I drew you a picture of my family since you seem overly curious about them all the time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do ask too many questions, and curiosity killed the cat, they say.
Satisfaction brought it back.
Oh, yeah, there is a cat here. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
His name is Satisfaction.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Wow, so you have a lot of siblings, huh?
Yes, I have 13 brothers and sisters total.
Wow. Oh my gosh, were you the youngest or the middle, the oldest?
I'm not sure. There was never really anything written down and no record of everyone.
Oh, wow.
Just stories from my mom and dad.
Oh, this is a great picture, Clara.
Thank you.
How come everybody's holding some really gruesome weapon? It's like, looks like there's a hatchet and a
weapons?
An axe and a shotgun and what's going on here?
You're so silly, Brittany.
I know.
My mom has a knife because she's making dinner.
Oh!
It's dripping with blood because she just cut up open a chicken.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Chickens. Yeah, you guys had chickens.
Mm-hmm. That and makes sense. And my dad is cutting firewood. That's why he has a big axe and it's all shiny. Yeah. And he's holding it really high so he can chop, 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 chop a lot of wood.
Yeah, I bet it got really cold.
Yeah, it was freezing. That's why I love my blanket. And then that's my brother. And he's holding a shotgun because he likes to go hunting.
Oh, okay.
He used to shoot squirrels and then rip off their heads and put them on tiny little sticks outside the house to warn other squirrels to beware.
Wow. Did that work?
Yeah, there wasn't a single squirrel or person around.
What else was your brother into?
Oh, the usual things that boys do. Silly things. He mutilated all sorts of small animals. And he would lock himself away in his treehouse for days, chanting weird satanic rituals. You know, silly boy stuff.
Boy stuff. Yeah, I hear that. Hey, Claire, just out of curiosity, does he live in this house, too?
No, silly. He lives in his treehouse still.
Oh, is that why the light comes on out there sometimes?
Uh-huh. And sometimes, if you close your eyes and listen very carefully, you can hear the devil himself chanting.
Oh. Well, good thing I, not much for camping anymore.
That's why I get to stay in the house. It's so much more fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. We're all safe in here.
As much as you think you are, Brittany.
What does that mean?
Exactly what you think it does.
Okay. I'll hang this on the fridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The refrigerator?
Yeah.
The icebox?
The icebox for you, yeah.
That's so great. Thank you, Brittany. I'll make you many more pictures.
Okay, thanks so much, Clara.
Bye.
Bye. Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot of beautiful music.
Oh, you better believe it. You know what purgatory is?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I feel like I've been there for like, it feels like I've been there for an eternity.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people don't know, but when you die, mm-hmm. you actually spend pretty much all your time in like a Valero gas station. Have you ever been in like a Valero gas station?
Oh, for sure.
It's like a Valero gas station and there's no attendant, but you just have this weird sense that you can't go behind the counter.
Wow, not to sound too morbid or anything, but sometimes I look forward to the part of my life when I'm dead just so I can experience what that is like.
It's really cool. When you die, you're thinking like, where's your money going in terms of where you go?
Okay, here's what I hope. Ready?
Give me the hope and give me the expectations and give me the reality.
Absolutely. Expectation, hope, slash best case scenario is a room filled with cats, and they're all in really good temper, and everybody has, you know, snacks and, you know, enough juice, and you know, maybe there's like a friend.
So, hell.
I could talk to, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what to call it, but.
Most people's hell is that.
Oh. Well, for me, I think that sounds nice.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Oh, and my family. And then worst case scenario, I'm thinking, you know, is like when you go to the doctor and it's a waiting room, but there's like one person and they keep sneezing.
But either way, honestly, you're probably fine. Either one of those being where you end up is probably fine.
Oh, Charles Manson, I have so many questions for you. Let's just like rapid fire a little bit.
Hit me.
Okay. Did you, when you were alive, did you have a favorite woman in your gaggle? And did Squeaky Frome stand out to you? Or
You know, I will say straight up, human women were never like my favorite.
Oh, so cats maybe?
I had a 5-month marriage to a cat. I was married to a Budweiser Clydesdale.
Oh.
I was married to a Budweiser Clydesdale. Uh-huh. She was hot. She was hot to trot. Yeah, if she's listening, you know, I'm here for her.
Is she the one who got away? Who galloped away?
She definitely trotted off. Yeah, I'm married to I was briefly married to those four guys that were in that Wada commercial. I was married to those guys for a while. Again, none of them are human. Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of who else I was married to. I was married to a cockatoo.
Wow.
I was married to the bee from Cheerios, the Cheerios bee.
Uh-huh.
I was married to Fiona the hippo at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Wow.
Really cute.
I gotta say, the thing I love so much about you, Charles Manson, is that you are, you know, so inclusive.
You know, thank you.
Yeah.
Honestly, thank you. A lot of people don't know that I am a softie and that I actually never, like, killed anyone with my bare hands.
Right.
I feel like people think I did. And I was like, no, I just brainwashed other people to do it for me.
Did you ever grant any wishes to them the way that people ask, like, other gods to grant them wishes?
They certainly asked of me things, but in terms of my ability to actually deliver on those, it was kind of more like I closed my eyes, waved my hands in the air like something was happening. But in all reality, I did not have any actual ability to deliver those kind of requests. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more theatricality more than anything else. If you kind of close your hands and drop to your knees and, you know, kind of do some Hail Marys and act like you're kind of getting possessed for a second, mostly your cult will believe that you're kind of in touch with something.
Oh, Charlie, this has been such a treat for me. So I gotta
good.
Say.
I hope that when you die, you're surrounded by cats.
Oh,
I really want to say
that.
Thank
you so much for saying that. I appreciate it.
And I don't want to, like, do any plugging or anything.
No, please.
But if anybody out there, if you're like a cat or like a Clydesdale or maybe you were in like a popular Super Bowl commercial and you're in a nearby Valero gas station in the desert abyss, hit me up. I mean, like, we could probably get together. I don't know.
Aww.
I'm not trying to be like cute or something, but if you're bored or whatever and you're like dead and in purgatory and like living at a Valero gas station in the middle of nowhere, just like hit me up.
Yeah. Oh, Charles Manson, hungry for love.
Hungry
and
for love.
Not Slim Jims anymore.
honestly, not anymore. I'm losing my fucking mind if I have to eat another one of those, and I will. And
yeah.
That's all I eat.
Oh, and just real quick, what was the promo code again for the free download of your EP?
The free promo code of my EP is FUCKGOD.
Thank you so much, Charles Manson. It's been such a joy getting to, you know, talk to you, getting to know you. I hope, you know, some really nice hippos give you a call. All right. Well, have fun, Charles Manson. Hopefully talk to you later.
Deuces.
All right. Beep, boop, boop, boop. Bye. Bye, Charles Manson. Wow. What a great musician. I had no idea. Oh, I just love talking to these guys. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week for another episode of Killer Conversations.
Killer Conversations is produced by the I.O. Podcast Network. Your host is Brittany Bookbinder. Today's guest was Luke Knoll. The spirit of the ghost child was channeled by Nora Ulrey. Original music by Matt Edwards. Sound engineering by Lauren Frost. Recording by Tressa Slater. Graphic design by Natalie Peoples. Destruction of the Space-Time Continuum by Mike Brunley. And remember, if you catch your death, let it go.
Fantastic day. Sun's shining. I'm out for a walk in the big city. 2018. This is insane, man. Hey, check it out. Little hair salon. You know, there's always something about ladies getting their haircuts that pisses me off. Why don't you go say something to them, Ted? Well, maybe I will. Be brave, Ted. Don't back down. I won't, Ted. Thanks. Excuse me! Hello? Miss? It looks like you're getting a bob? Can I recommend against that? I don't know why you do that to yourself. Miss? Don't turn away from me. I'm giving you good advice. I'm here as a friend. You've got long, gorgeous, luxurious brown hair. Why on earth would you be cutting it? Who gave you that advice? I'll track them down and cut their head off. Look at me, please. I'm a human being. Okay, last warning. Stop cutting your hair. You don't want to listen to me? Fine. Maybe I'll go get something that'll change your mind. I'll be back in a minute.
This episode was recorded at the I.O. Theater. The I.O. Theater is home to Chicago's best improv comedy, with shows 7 nights a week. They offer classes in improv, writing, and more. Visit ioimprov.com for a full schedule.